Welcome to A Time of Hope. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30. California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person, or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. We have covered the foundational three of love, joy, and peace. We have covered the second three of patience, kindness, and goodness. Last Sunday, we looked at faithfulness. This Sunday, we look at the second to the last fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Meekness is synonymous with gentleness. Gentleness doesn't mean we stand back or let people walk over us. It is the balance between power and weakness. Paul is talking about how we respond when we have been wronged or hurt, or how we treat the vulnerable. The perfect example is Jesus. How he approached the woman caught in adultery, how children were brought to him and he gathered them in his arms, or how he touched the man with leprosy. We also see it on the cross when he forgives those who nailed him to the cross. That's gentleness. We'll talk about how to develop gentleness in our daily lives. May God bless and keep you this week. May you feel his peace and presence in your life. And thank you for listening.
Normally, A Time of Hope has highlights from the previous week's Sunday services. But this one is different because we had technical difficulties last week. This will be a replay of our Time of Hope on this Sunday in August in 2019, and it was a special Sunday.
This is a special Time of Hope because our service last Sunday was led by the young people of our congregation, and they were inspiring. We hope you enjoy our program.
Will you please rise for the call to worship? For you, O Lord, are my hope.
My trust, O Lord, from my youth.
My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long.
Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent.
I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more.
My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all day long.
I will come praising the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will praise your righteousness, yours alone.
O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds.
The prayer of the day is led by Macy Trimble.
Will you join me for the prayer of the day? Almighty God, you tell us when we find our delight in you, you will give us the desires of our hearts. When we seek you, we find your direction for our lives. For those who cannot find the strength to pray, we lift them to you now. Those who are far from our eyes, but near and heavy on our hearts, we pray your presence is made known to them. For those who are sick and hurting, we pray your comfort be shown through the presence of a friend. Lead us to you in your hands. Allow us to share your hearts. Amen.
Our prayer for illumination is led by Chase Trimble.
Father, you are our dwelling place. In this time of worship, may we draw close to you and open our hearts to your word. Reveal to us the gifts you have given us, the passions to us, even from our youth. Help us to see not only our own value, but the value of those younger than us, the value of those older than us, and show us how our gifts and stages in life are meant to work together for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture lessons are read by Cody Schneider and Brooks Walker.
Today's first scripture lesson is from Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
The second reading today is Matthew chapter 19, through verses 13 through 15. The people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hand on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hand on them, he went on from there. That ends the second reading.
Our sermon, "The Young and the Faithful, Bright Lights for a Dark World," is offered by a number of our young people, including, in order, Elizabeth Ash, Ross Deacon, Peter Dampf, Lauren Frederick, Riley Hess, Garrett Berger, and Kiefer Kestner.
Clearly, I'm not Pastor Russell, and none of us who are doing the sermon today are Pastor Russell, so sorry, but you get us. Today we're told to take over the service and make our sermon about the impact that the youth has on the world. So our main scripture comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity." Ross, Garrett, Peter, Lauren, Riley, and Kiefer are going into more detail on each subject later. Okay, so being a teen or young adult, as we like to call ourselves, is a very crucial and life-changing time. It is different for everyone. At this time, we are making some of the most important decisions of our lives. Some of us are getting lost in the high school at our first year, like Peter, when I had to show him where the pack was. And then some of us are going to be graduating soon. We are deciding our careers, choosing our friendships, but the most important thing is that we decide if we want to continue to grow in Christ and in fellowship. 90% of the decisions to be Christians are made in the teen years. Unfortunately, this is also the age when churches experience the greatest dropout rate. Why, you may be wondering? Most teens probably feel that they are too young to contribute to the church or the church members. They may even feel like they are looked down on. Although the dropout rates increase in the teen years, the scripture tells us that even the young are important to the church. We have an important role. We can set examples to even the younger children by being involved in youth group, speaking our statements of faith during confirmation, and doing the service like we are today. We are lights in a dark world. Interestingly enough, Jesus set an example when he was a teen. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52 tells us that Jesus was 12 years old when he ran away to the temple and began working with the teachers there and asking questions. God knew Jesus could be an earthly example as a teenager, and I think this lets us know that we can too. A more current example of a young, successful teen is Gabby Douglas. When Gabby Douglas was 16, she won a gold medal for the USA gymnastics team in the 2012 Olympics. Another example from the Bible is King Josiah. He was only 8 years old when he became king, and his reign lasted 31 years. Now, tying back to our main scripture, 1 Timothy explains that God has called us as youth to model Christianity. The scripture says youth can set an example in 5 different areas. These areas include speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Ross will now begin telling you how to set examples in conduct.
Hi again. I'm here to talk about why it is important to set examples in our conduct as Christians and how we can set examples at school as well as in our lives. It is important to set examples in our conduct as Christians because it is a part of our religion to be humble, kind people that respect each other no matter what their lifestyles may be. As it states in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15, Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. That saying is directed towards the younger people and is something that could be useful to the kids as school starts up again. Because we can all show good conduct as Christians in school by being nice to someone who looks a bit down, and by just listening to your teacher. We also need to set examples of conduct in our lives to show our Christianity. We can do this by helping someone cross the street, helping someone carry their bags out of the grocery store, or even just saying hello to someone that you don't know. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16, it states, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." I, as a Christian, relate to this verse in many ways. Especially now that I am an upperclassman in high school, I feel like I have an obligation to be the light to the underclassmen. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he encourages us to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. As believers, we have a responsibility to represent Christ to the world through our conduct. If we wear the label of Christian, we must be willing to live our lives to that standard. By doing so, we can be the example that God wants us to be to those around us.
Good morning. My name is Peter Damph. I'll be talking about setting an example in your faith from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. We've all been told by our teachers and parents to set a good example and do what we're supposed to. But how many of us actually think about why we're supposed to set a good example? As an adult, why do you choose to set a good example? Is it because that's what you were taught to do? Then do you also set a good example in your faith as the church has taught you to do? So do you know why it's important to set a good example in your faith? It's important because two of the things we are taught to do is to grow in our faith and spread God's word to those who don't know him. If we share the word of God, this will also bring us closer to him and also bring others closer to God. It's also important to set an example in our faith from what James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 says. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? One way we can help with the physical needs of others is donating offering on Sunday, because the money will go to different organizations to help the people who don't have food or clothing. Today, part of the offering will go to improve the church, but it will also go to the OCWM. In the workplace and in school is where we're supposed to set an example. It's also where we're supposed to set an example in our faith. And I know that's easier said than done because, like James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 says, it's easier to tell you to set an example in your faith than it is to show you. But when everyone sets an example of faith at school or at work, then it becomes normal. And when you do that wherever you go, other people will start to set their example in faith, and others may see this and want to learn more about God. Setting an example to others can be something like asking someone if they want to come to church with you. Your actions don't have to be big, but if you continually do God's will, he'll reward you. If we don't tell others about God and spread the good news, what use is it? To say you believe, but don't show your faith to others so they can learn more about God. Can your faith save you without deeds?
Good morning. I'm Lauren Frederick, and I'll be talking about setting an example through purity. It states in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The Bible tells us that purity is a state of cleanliness. In the Old Testament, purity dealt mostly with your physical appearance. This means that if you appeared to be clean, you were pure. Paul told us that purity is more than just a physical appearance. He tells us to be pure spiritually. To be spiritually pure, you must stay true to yourself and not let the darkness take over you. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, about focusing your heart on what is above, where Christ is, at the right hand of God. If your mind is set on what is above, your heart will remain pure. But if we set our minds on earthly things, we will not stay pure. It also states that no matter what darkness is thrown at you in your earthly nature, stay pure by clothing yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. God is pure, and anyone who comes in the presence of God will be pure too. As a young adult, I know that there are many temptations that can lead to bad choices throughout my life. I, for one, am lucky to have a great friend group surrounding me, and we stay pure by not letting temptations overtake us. Overcoming these bad temptations in life and at school are not the only thing that stands in the way of being pure. There are many things throughout the day that we may do that do not make us pure, such as using inappropriate language, listening to inappropriate songs, or even being unkind or judgmental to others. We as Christians need to give careful thought to what we say or do to stay pure in our faith. To be able to stay pure throughout our lives means to ask ourselves questions, like, should I be doing this? We must be joyful in our hearts and turn to God for help. It states in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We must maintain these traits to continue to be pure. Like it talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In conclusion, remember that with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, you will stay in step with God and be pure in heart.
Good morning, I'm Riley Hess, and I will be sharing with you the importance of God's love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 says, and so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in God and God in them. The word love is spoken of 310 times in the Bible. There are 106 verses in the Bible that speak of love. God shows his love for us each day and wants us to do everything in love. He wants us to show this love daily to family, friends, and strangers that come into our path. We can show God's love at home, school, or work by praying to God daily for guidance and direction, by doing good deeds, honoring his name, by showing forgiveness and compassion to others, as well as loving our enemies. As a child, my parents instilled in me the importance of knowing God and his love for me by attending church and Sunday school regularly. They have always taught my brother and I to be kind and loving and to make sure we included everyone no matter what we were doing. Sometimes just small acts of kindness are effective ways of loving others like Jesus. Praying every night, thanking God for the day, as well as thanking him for all my blessings and watching over all those in need has been a routine in our household since I was a small child. God shows us a love that is unconditional. His love is not based on your performance. He loves us at your best and at your worst. This love God offers is the only thing that can truly fill the void in our lives. He wants to be in a relationship with you and share his love with you. He wants us to be obedient to him. At times in our lives, we can feel like something is missing. This void that we can all experience can be filled temporarily with people or material things. Truly, there is no true fulfillment in this life without the love of God. God's love is a gift to us. His love is in us, and he wants us to share this love to others through words and actions. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So easy to say, but so hard to do. This could be the most difficult command Jesus ever gave us. God tells us that love is the only way. God loves our enemies as much as he loves each one of us, even when they hurt us. God sent his only son to pay the price for us so that we can be forgiven and saved. No matter how many mistakes we make, no matter how unworthy we think we might be, he still loves us and wants us to turn to him. When we receive his gift of love, we will have peace, joy, and confidence to share his love with others.
My topic today during the sermon is speech. Speech is something that is used in many different ways throughout the world and can be damaging if it is not used right. In speech, it is important to set an example for others because in showing others the right way to use speech can ensure for a better society. Just like in Scripture, Proverbs 15, verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. It's saying that when speech is used in the correct form, then others can follow and relate to it. But if it is mistaken, then others will see the speech as foolish and unacceptable in many ways. To set an example in speech, people must be willing to choose their words wisely and speak freely in the Lord's perspective. In the Scriptures, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it says, but sanctify Christ as your Lord in our hearts. Always be ready to make defense to everyone who asks you to give them an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. It's telling us that you are reliable for your own hope, and that it is how your speech comes out that will keep gentleness and reverence between each other. Speech can go a long way in society, depending on the way that it is used around others at all times. In the scriptures, 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5, it says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people do not put up with the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." It's telling us that people who use speech in the ways of the Lord can help make the world a calmer, better place for everyone to live in. Speech can lead to greatness if it is used in the correct form and can be very popular across many places. For me to be able to set a better example in speech is to be able to speak freely and make sure that everyone knows the great things that can be heard and spread amongst others to share. I want to make sure that I can speak in a clear tone and positive when speaking. When I speak, I will make sure that everyone around is listening will hear me speaking in the most positive attitude that I have. I will make sure that the word of God is spread amongst others through the power of speech.
Hello, my name is Kiefer Kessner. So we all set godly examples as youth, as how God set examples to us. In the Bible, Paul writes to Timothy five areas we can be examples in. Examples in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. These five areas can help guide one another to becoming the greatest we can be. In speech, our words can impact others in positive ways and be a motivation. As what my parents always tell me, to do your best in school now so it'll be easier later. Being an example in conduct has in leading others and directing people around us from right to wrong. Showing love to those around us, even if they are enemies more than they are friends. Being strong in faith, everyone has made a decision they knew wasn't right. Like when me and my friends snuck out one night to go walk to a gas station to get snacks at 2 in the morning because none of us could drive yet. But there has also been times where I felt I trusted God in making a decision when it was getting closer to deciding what to do after high school. And to the fifth area, purity, as in cleanliness, as we all try not to judge a book by its cover. Everyone is who they are, and what's on the outside doesn't resemble them on the inside. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 states, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Then also Peter challenges each one of us to follow in Jesus' footsteps and let everyone see our examples of faith, speech, love, purity, and conduct. We should all show examples of these areas to be the best we can be.
DJ Snyder now invites everyone to sing "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus."
Please rise and join me in singing hymn 165, "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus."
Thank you.
Peter Damp now leads us in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed.
Would you please join me for the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
My name is Maddie Sedgwick, and today I will lead you in the prayers of intercession. So many needs, Jesus, but you are adequate for every need. Your name is powerful, and your power is great. So it's in your name that I pray and believe. Amen.
Hello, my name is Michelle Sedgwick, and if you would, please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Grace Damp invites us to sing with her This Little Light of Mine.
Would you please join us for the hymn number 466, This Little Light of Mine.
It's been a good day. It's been a wonderful day. Thanks to all the ones that have been involved and done a great job. This is also, I know we have a lot of children here and we have a lot of people that work with the school system. And so we're just going to take a moment before Lauren comes up and gives the benediction. We're going to pray a special blessing upon them. So what I'm going to ask, I know we have everybody standing. I'm just going to ask you to hold hands. And I'm going to say a little prayer for our school kids, as well as our teachers and everybody involved. If you teach at home, homeschool, we're praying for each one of you today. So let's pray. Father, just as your scriptures say, you love little children. You have them come to you and you bless them. You put your hands upon them. You love them and you told them to be lights and that we are to have faith like them. Father, they are a precious resource. And we pray, Father, for each one of them this school. Your school has started. We pray, Father, for their physical safety. We pray for their spiritual encouragement, Father. Just protect their hearts and minds. Thank you for the teachers and all the workers associated with the school and those that are working at home to teach their children. I pray, Father, you use them. Teachers are so important in our school system to help with children that are struggling. And I pray, Father, that our young people that spoke today and have been involved will be those lights in a dark world. Father, we're thankful for your Holy Spirit. We're thankful for your love. Help us to make a difference with the world today. We ask this all in your name. Amen.
Lauren Spillers offers our benediction.
Let's pray. May the beauty of God be reflected in your eyes, the love of God be reflected in your hands, the wisdom of God be reflected in your words, and the knowledge of God flow from your heart, that all might see, and seeing believe. Amen.